At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. The president and CEO of the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance has resigned, effective at the end of this month. Cindy Crane joined the nonprofit in 2015. KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports her departure comes amid months of growing tension between the alliance and Dallas City Hall.
Several homeless service providers say in just 3 years, Cindy Crane has radically changed how homelessness is tracked and managed across Dallas and Collin counties. Larry James, CEO of City Square, told KERA in December that homelessness in Dallas would be far worse without her.
And I have found very few professionals with her kind of expertise combining that intellectual ability with an absolute love for the population she's trying to serve. When we have the homeless point-in-time census, she's right out there with everybody. And when an encampment is being closed, she's right there on the front line doing case management.
Under Crane's leadership, the Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance spearheaded the 2016 closure of Tent City, the 300-person homeless camp in Dallas under Interstates 30 and 45. Their group also ushered in new technology to streamline homeless case management, an app to count homeless individuals in real time, as well as a new and more comprehensive system to track how they're being served. Crane would not talk about her resignation, but in a statement, she said MDHA has accomplished nearly all the goals she set. And in an interview late last year, she said she's proud of the work she's done.
We've completely, in 2.5 years, transformed the homeless response system to a very data-driven, with evidence, transparent system. A system of care, consistent rules, swift mechanisms for people to get on a housing list, a fair process of getting on the housing list, removing the silos between agencies of knowledge and information.
But in December, a homeless audit conducted by a city auditor slammed Crane and the Homeless Alliance for a lack of oversight that potentially jeopardized federal funding opportunities and worsened the city's homeless problem. The report prompted some Dallas City Council members to call for her to step down. Crane talked to KERA soon after the report was released.
It doesn't matter the work we do, as long as an elected official sees a homeless person in a tent on the side of the right of way, they think nothing has changed. I keep hearing nothing has changed, and I'm flabbergasted because in Dallas, everything has changed.
The number of people sleeping outside continues to grow in Dallas, but there's been a drop in veteran and chronic homelessness. The Metro Dallas Homeless Alliance has also been able to better identify and help vulnerable populations, like families with children, seniors, and people under 24. The alliance says the search for a replacement is underway. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Cindy Crane is a member of KERA's Community Advisory Board. Next month, voters across Texas head back to the polls for primary runoff elections. Election day is May 22nd. Former Dallas County Sheriff Lupe Valdez and Houston businessman Andrew White will face off in the Democratic runoff for governor. But will they first face off in a debate? Well, a debate's been brewing over having a debate. Ben Philpott is with KUT in Austin. He talked with David Brown, host of Texas Standard.
We had early on, right after primary night, I believe a statement from Sheriff Valdez, former Sheriff Valdez, saying, no, didn't think a debate would probably happen. But as we got into last week, she started to say yes, that a debate probably would happen. And then, of course, over the weekend, Senate candidate Beto O'Rourke, Congressman O'Rourke, said that he believed that it would be a good idea if this happened because there were just so many questions about the two candidates that Democrats, you know, didn't really know either candidate.
Lupe Valdez has arguably more name recognition, although Andrew White, his last name, is certainly well known because his dad was former governor of Texas. Who's proposed the debate and who's sort of dragging their feet? Is it Lupe Valdez that's sort of saying she's the block here?
Yes, and I'll give you a very specific case of that. KUT News is trying to get a debate together with a couple of other media partners, Texas Tribune, Take It Statewide. And when the initial ask was made, Andrew White said yes, and Lupe Valdez says, we'll get back to you.
What seems to be the reason? Is it that she doesn't think she's going to perform well in this kind of format, or has there been any speculation around that?
Well, I think that after you had the Dallas Morning News editorial before the primary endorsing Andrew White and saying some very critical things about maybe how much Lupe Valdez knew about how the legislature worked, you could argue that maybe there was a concern about being asked questions about those specific things in a live debate and whether or not she would also perform as poorly as apparently she did in that editorial question.
That was Ben Philpott with KUT in Austin talking with David Brown, host of Texas Standard. After some bad years, things are looking up right now for the freight rail industry, and that's being felt in far north Fort Worth. That's where GE's locomotive factory is in the process of nearly doubling its staff. Those workers aren't just building brand new locomotives. KERA's Christopher Connolly says these days the factory is focused on modernizing old machines.
Think of it as Extreme Makeover Locomotive Edition. When you take a 20-year-old train engine and update it, sometimes you need to get creative.
There's a lot more problem solving, just like you would see in any kind of makeover.
Mike Bratt runs this sprawling factory next to the Texas Motor Speedway.
Every locomotive is different. One may have been in a little bit of an accident where things are damaged, and we'll have to do a little bit of a different work scope on it than maybe another locomotive.
Out across the factory floor, men and women climb over hulking machines. Sparks fly from welding torches, and it's so loud you have to wear earplugs. Bratt says in this million-square-foot factory, keeping all the activity on track is complicated.
It's an intricate supply chain that we got to manage every little detail to make sure components are returning to meet back up with the final product at the right time.
This place opened 5 years ago, and not long after that, the freight rail industry slumped. Less coal was being shipped, cheap gas made trucking more competitive, so railroads weren't really buying new locomotives. Last year, the Fort Worth factory laid off 250 workers, with the rest working reduced hours. And the future here is still murky, since GE is considering plans to spin off its transportation division. But they've rejiggered the factory to focus more on taking old engines and modernizing them. Samir Gore heads GE's modernizations unit, and he says freight rail companies have aging fleets.
What's going on is our customers are looking for more out of their existing locomotives. You know, to be able to get the most out of the locomotive you have makes the railroad that much more competitive.
Gore says companies typically want to retrofit engines that are 20 to 25 years old, adding new technology and upgrading traction systems that can increase their service life by about 20 more years. And it allows them to pull more freight using less fuel. Gore says the rail industry's outlook is better these days, which is driving more demand for both refurbished and new engines.
There is a lift happening in the industry, which is very encouraging for all of us. You know, we're seeing demand improve. We're seeing rail win versus some other modes of transportation. And that's encouraging.
Outside the factory, Doug Corbin from Norfolk Southern says the railroad company is moving more coal, more merchandise, and more cars and trucks these days. Corbin's looking at two of his company's locomotives sitting side by side. One is old and dinged with faded paint, and the other is shiny, just off the factory floor, refurbished by the plant's workers. He points to the older one.
This locomotive here can pull 140,000 pounds. That one's 200,000 pounds, so you can see the amount of improvement we got. A train that might have three of these on the front, I can now get away with two of those.
Modernizations like these are the main thing going right now at the Fort Worth plant, but they won't be for long. The factory plans to start work this summer on a big order of 200 brand new engines for Canadian National Railway. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
The Pulitzer Prizes were announced this afternoon. While Texas-based newsrooms were not among the winners, Texas journalists were named finalists for the prestigious Journalism Awards. The finalists include Sharon Grigsby of the Dallas Morning News for her editorial writing about sexual assault at Baylor University. The staff of the Houston Chronicle is a finalist in the breaking news reporting category for coverage of Hurricane Harvey. And Lisa Krantz of the San Antonio Express News is a finalist in feature photography. The Pulitzer Prizes recognized the best journalism in 2017 in newspapers, magazines, and websites. Other Pulitzers are awarded in the arts, including fiction, drama, and music. Check out a list of the winners at keranews.org. And finally, for the evening, should be mostly clear tonight with a cool low around 59. Tomorrow, sunny with a high in the mid-80s. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.